And we're live for this episode of the Freedom Series with Josh Ryan, a 20-year-old Instagram expert from New Zealand who's gained millions of followers across multiple theme pages in the past and now helps his clients grow their personal brands as well. Josh, welcome to the show, mate.
Pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
Mate, super pumped to have you on tonight, and welcome to each and every one of you guys that are watching us either live across multiple platforms or watching the replay. Rafi from my team is monitoring the comments, so throughout the next half an hour, 45 minutes, would love you guys to engage with us as much as possible. Me and Josh will have a great time anyway, and share as much as we can around growing a freedom business. But if you guys have got any questions on the way, please jump in the chat, let us know, and let us know where you're watching this this live series from today as well. So Josh, 20-year-old entrepreneur, doing amazing things on Instagram, dude. Where did it all start for you?
So I started on Instagram, I think, probably about 5.5, coming up 6 years ago. I just started an account for a bit of fun. I mean, I'd always been kind of entrepreneurial, but just started a page for fun, like cool cars, cool quotes, that sort of stuff there, and didn't think much of it. And then, must have been about a month later, I asked someone who had an audience like to promote my account to, you know, help me grow. And he turned around and he's like, oh, that'll be $50. And I was like, wait, what? You're charging money to promote people on social media? And because that was like unknown at the time. And then from there, I just learned about the whole business behind it and just was super interested in it. Thought it was fascinating and just went for it.
Wow. And how long did it take you to get to your first like 100,000 on an account? Because I know you've grown some massive accounts, but how long did it take you to get to your first like 100,000?
I think it only took about 9 months, I believe, to get my first one to 100,000. It took a long time to sort of get the first sort of few thousand, but then once I'd sort of got the hang of things, it scaled up pretty quickly.
Yeah. And what's the largest account you've got now, out of curiosity, or that you've had?
I've still got one now, which is about to hit 500,000 followers, which is just millionaire.dream. And that was the first one. I've got rid of a few of my other ones. I've sold them off, but I've sort of kept that one there because it was like my first one. So
yeah. Instagram's such a huge opportunity, I think, as an organic platform and the ability we have to grow on scale. And I'm sure you've seen a lot of changes. I could imagine though, like once you got your first account to 100,000, you could replicate that result pretty easy over and over again, or did it take you a little while to kind of find the blueprint?
Yeah, I mean, it was pretty easy with like the same sort of niche. So I grew a bunch of pages sort of like in that like motivational quotes niche pretty easily. It took me a little bit to sort of understand a bit more about like personal branding and how to like help like a person that was trying to like teach something as opposed to like just like sort of using quotes. So that took a little bit of time to learn, but that was probably more learning about like personal brands and Instagram.
Yeah. So you live in New Zealand now, but I know that pre-COVID you were doing a bit of traveling around, and obviously you've set your business up that way as well. What is your kind of goal in business, dude? Like, you know, you've been in business for a few years now, got some success behind you, you've created a replica model, you're now helping your client do the same thing you've done for your accounts multiple times. Like, what are you heading towards, do you feel, at this point in time?
I don't think I really have a long-term thing, like, at this point, if I'm completely honest. I probably should. I do need to work something like that out, but at the moment, I'm just enjoying the challenge of just continuously building it. I do want to get out and travel a lot more once COVID's done. So once that's all over, hopefully you can get out and do that. But I haven't really got a long-term thing aside from just keep doing what I'm doing, saving and investing on the side and just creating freedom in general, really. Yeah.
What do you feel, it's a good point you raise, like what do you feel freedom is for you? Because everyone's definition of freedom or success is very different. And I think it's important that we all each have our own understanding of what that is. Like, what is freedom for you?
I would just say the options to be able to do, or the ability to do what I want to do and not be forced into doing something because I need the money to eat or to live or something like that.
Yeah.
I would say it's probably freedom to me and just the ability to choose what I do. I will still be working, obviously, because I just enjoy it. It's called challenge, but you're not forced to do something because you have to. You're doing it because you're enjoying doing so.
Yeah, I love that. So let's talk Instagram for a bit. And if you just joined this live stream, welcome. Talking with Josh Ryan, who's an expert when it comes to growing huge Instagram accounts. He's done it time and time again and now helps his clients to do the same for their businesses too. So please, if you've got any questions at all for myself or Josh, chuck a comment below. My team will share it through with us and we'll get your questions answered tonight as well. So Instagram, what's the opportunity do you feel with Instagram? Like, we've seen a lot of change, a lot of growth over the past few years. Like, what sort of opportunity do you feel there is there for business owners?
As in, like, tactics that they can use to grow or, like...
No, like the opportunity that they have utilizing Instagram as a growth tool for their business.
I just think it's a massive... Like, people say that the organic reach is, like, slowing down, but there's still a massive amount of reach you can get on Instagram for free. And then there's also a lot of cheap traffic you can get, which you don't really get as much on other platforms through leveraging influencers, all that sort of stuff. It's still massive if you know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess to the point too, it's not about having an account that's got 100,000 or 500,000 or a million people either. Like, we're not doing this for an ego trip of like, oh, I've got an Instagram account, like looking up and you got 500,000 likes. Like, what do you kind of see that the purpose is, or how can we use Instagram as a vehicle to, I guess, generate qualified prospects for our businesses?
Yeah, I mean, vanity metrics are definitely not something you don't want to be going for. So it's, I mean, it has changed a lot recently. But as in, you're looking for like tactics people can use to grow, or?
Yeah,
I mean, I would say the biggest opportunity now is putting out like content rich stuff. Like, in the past, lots of people on Instagram have sort of like posted, or like even like myself, motivational quotes, or they might post like a picture of them traveling and living the laptop lifestyle or something like that. But what's working really, really well now on Instagram is actually putting out like in-depth stuff, teaching that. So rather than posting a picture of you in Bali, you know, chilling, you might post a video about how you created a business that allowed you to do that. And then people are going to engage with that. People might share that to their story. People might tag their friend that is trying to do the same thing. And there's a massive opportunity there to put out content that's sort of not quite long enough for YouTube, but sort of too long for like TikTok and that sort of stuff, that in between stuff, and get really good targeted traction. Because someone that follows you because they watched a 3-minute video about how to create passive income is a way more engaged fan than someone that saw a cool quote from Warren Buffett that you like reposted sort of thing.
Yeah. In terms of like who shows up, like, I've seen a lot of things and have heard a lot of things around the way you should position yourself on different platforms. And Instagram's almost like a behind the scenes of like, you know, day in the life of Josh or day in the life of Barry. Do you think that's still the case? Or do you think that the people that are showing up there and what they're showing that they're for are starting to shift?
I think that's still true, especially on the stories. Like, a lot of that behind the scenes stuff does really, really well. In the feed though, like when you're putting out stuff in the feed, you're probably better off going a little bit more professional, because you want to get people like sharing it, tagging their friends. But then once someone follows you and they're seeing your story, that behind the scenes stuff builds a pretty cool personal, I think, like relationship almost with you and your followers, which you sort of lack on other platforms.
Yeah. Great. So we've got an Instagram account where we're posting some behind the scenes stuff. We've got some good curated content for the main feed, which is starting to teach people more how we do what we do rather than just like, oh, look at me in Bali. How do we start to look, I guess, to move people that are followers or, you know, likers of our stuff into a sales conversation or into a conversation where we can start to offer them access to our products or services?
Yeah. So there's a couple ways you can do this, and it is sort of like changing. It does change like over time, but what's working really now is one, like having something in your bio, like a call to action in your bio, like DM me if you want to learn XYZ, if you want to learn, you know, how to build an online business or something along those lines, which is going to get anyone new that comes to your profile can potentially get them instantly into your funnel. The other thing that works really well is on your story, just posting like results. If someone messages you and like, hey Josh, I just, you know, went through your course and learned this and got this result, you can just post a screenshot of that on your story, and then you're naturally going to get people messaging you. I found that like the direct sort of like pitching doesn't work quite as well now. It definitely did. But I've found now if you're like sharing success stories, results, even if you're posting like the behind the scenes of you working on some new course content, you're going to get people message you just naturally based off that. And if you're putting out good stuff in your feed, they're just going to assume that it's like considerably better in there. So I feel like it's quite a natural almost sale.
Yeah, I guess too, because if we talk about the nature, it's like the behind the scenes. It's like people are a part of your day in the life of, as opposed to another platform where you want to be more directly pitching them per se.
Yeah, exactly. And because you sort of get quite good organic reach, if you can keep them engaged, it sort of keeps pushing your content out to more people, as opposed to just pitching and sort of taking them off and trying to get that sale straight away.
Yeah. And I think the reality is too that people's buying patterns are a little bit different now than what they used to be. We know that you know, people's attention spans are becoming shorter. You know, we're requiring more touch points before we can feel a sense of trust or a sense of wanting to commit to purchasing products and services, so to speak. Yeah. I got a question here from Ryan from Brisbane. If you're watching live, please feel free to put your questions in the comments below. We'll certainly get them answered for you. Ryan from Brisbane, what are Josh's top three models when it comes to creating and scaling a strong following in social media and turning it into a sustainable business?
Top three models as in like, just like growth strategies, I guess? Or,
I guess so, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I would say the first one is just having content that a stranger can be interested in. Like a stranger that's interested in your niche is the way I like to sort of think about it. So if you're putting out content about, you know, creating an online business, you want to make it engaging to someone who doesn't know you but is interested in that topic.
Yeah.
That's probably the first big one. Because like it's easy to appeal to people who already follow you, but that's not going to grow your following. So some ways to do that is to sort of keep your content reasonably short, but like straight to the point. The second one for growth would just be, Gary Vee talks about it all the time, literally just engaging in the community. Find a few people who have already got the audience that you want. And whenever they're posting, like leave some sort of insightful comment that might add on top of what they're posting. And naturally, you're going to start showing up everywhere and people will start finding you.
And the 99 cent strategy, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And then the third one would to be using targeted hashtags. And so when I'm saying targeted hashtags, it doesn't mean you should be using like business or hashtag motivation, but you should be using hashtags that are like, that's, if you go for hashtag business, for example, you're going to be competing against Gary Vee, Tony Robbins, Russell Brunson. You're not going to beat these guys to show up at the top of those hashtags. Mm. You're going to be wanting to use like targeted ones that less people are using so you can show up at the top. So it might be a bit of a smaller, you might get less traffic from it, but if you can show up in that trending section at the top, so it might be business mindset, or it might be passive income Australia as opposed to passive income or something like that, where it's a bit more targeted, less competition. Same as that with keywords on Google sort of, I guess, idea. You're using more specific ones and ranking on those. So that's really main three.
Yeah, love that. Love that. So hashtags, targeted hashtags, the 99 cents is finding people who have the same audience that you'd like to have. And be targeted with putting, you know, an insightful comment that their audience would see and be like, oh, this guy Josh just seems to know what's going on. Let's check his profile out.
Yeah. And then when they get there, have content that's going to be interesting for those people. Make it look as good as you possibly can. Make sure there's valuable stuff in it.
Yeah.
And put the effort into doing that.
Yeah, I love that. Awesome. So if you enjoyed this so far, please hit the like or the love. Let us know that you're there watching. Give Josh some support as well. So mate, let's talk freedom in business. Like, what do you think are the keys in terms of like, what do we need to have in place as business owners to be able to move to start experiencing that freedom we spoke about before, where you have the money, you have the time, you have the ability to create a greater impact?
I would say creating something that you can replicate is probably a massive key. Although I'm still learning that sort of stuff as I'm going now, you're probably much more of an expert on that than I am. Yeah, creating something that you can do over and over again, I guess, is probably the key. And one thing that helped me with that was because a lot of my main income has been from my agency in the past. I just worked with sort of like one type of client. Like I was only targeting one niche, which made it really easy to replicate.
Yeah.
Because like if I'm trying to work with a personal trainer and then I'm working with a business coach and then I'm working with an athlete, it can be, it might still be the same sort of tactics, but you have to use different you have to change it for every situation. Whereas if you're going with just the same, if you're just working with business coaches, you can pretty much replicate it over and over and over.
Yeah. 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 It's a smart suggestion and something that I see many business owners avoid too, because they like the variety. They like the shiny thing. They like to kind of deliver everything to everyone, but it's also a trap that keeps us stuck in our business because, you know, what you just shared there is a very successful model. Like, find something that works, build it out, systemize it, train others to take it on board, and then move into another niche or move into another product line. But you have that same process already pre-created. It's a lot easier to do a second time round or third time round, as opposed to trying to do 3 things or 5 things or 10 things all at once.
Yeah, for sure. And I've actually also found, I guess it's not quite relating to freedom in that, but with, I guess, the agency model going for one type of client, is you also build up a better reputation within that niche. Like, if you're working with one client in 10 different niches, in none of those niches you're known as an expert, but if you're working with 10 clients in one niche, say like the business or like inside like the ClickFunnels sort of community, then you can become pretty well known there, and it makes it easy to get more and so on pretty quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, you quickly become elevated and become the thought leader, the expert in that industry. And it's interesting, I was speaking to a copywriter the other day, and, you know, the digital marketing space, business, really, it's quite a small circle. You know, even though there's so many billions of people in the world, I find that this business circle becomes smaller and smaller and smaller the longer you stay in business as well, and the more people you connect with.
Yeah, exactly. Definitely agree.
So let's talk about failures. Like, you've been in business for a little while now, still fairly newish, but achieved some amazing things in the process. What's been the biggest challenge or biggest failure you've had in your journey in business so far?
I've made a ton of tiny ones every single day, like with trying to grow Instagram accounts and stuff like that. Probably the lack of focusing on one thing has probably been the biggest thing. Like, it probably took me about 3 years just to focus on like just doing one thing. I was doing Instagram, and then, you know, do a little bit of drop shipping, like all inside of Instagram. And then a little bit of affiliate marketing, and then a little bit of like create an ebook, and like 101 different things that I'd tried doing. And then eventually, when I just settled on focusing on one, which was the agency, that's when things grew much, much better, which was probably, I don't know if that's technically a failure, but the lack of, or taking so much time to focus on one thing.
Yeah. It's totally unscripted and synergistical the way it happened, but we had a live stream a few hours ago with Keith Miller, who's one of the game changer coaches. He coaches our clients that are at the $3 million mark, takes them up to kind of 20, 30, 40, 50 million in a very, very specific skill set. And it was funny because something that he actually mentioned unsolicited from me was that he felt focus was one of the biggest challenges that most business owners face, which stops them growing and keeps hitting a glass ceiling. And you've had a firsthand experience of that. And I'm sure there's many people that are watching or listening to this today as well that can either relate to it from the past, or maybe the present experience that they're in, where they're trying to do a million things at once and wondering why things are just not quite happening as quickly, as profitably, or as productively as what they could. And it is because of the lack of focus. And, you know, it's this bit of a double-edged sword. Like, us entrepreneurs, we're blessed with creativity and always having different ideas we want to run forward. Like, we're never short of ideas, but that's our Achilles heel as well. Like, that's the biggest thing that holds us back, is trying to do a million things all at once before you're at a level where you have a team and you have systems and have things in place. And I remember for me, Josh, like a big thing, a big turning point was reading Brad Sugars' book a few years ago called Billionaire in Training. And he talks about the importance of getting one business to a position where it's sustainable, where it's profitable, where it doesn't require you to be there, and then starting to kind of divest your money into other companies and finding companies to renovate and to build up and to sell and so forth, but to have one there. And I guess, you know, I've been in business now for 18 years, and I'm fortunate enough that I am in a position now that I have multiple companies that grow and scale and profit without me needing to be involved day to day. And, you know, that I guess was the tipping point for me to start to write my book at the start of the year, because for a long time, I didn't feel successful. I still don't feel successful. And I think that's another thing we have in common as entrepreneurs, like there's this imposter syndrome. And I find that it's almost like the further you come along in your business journey, the more like successful you become, the more you feel like a fraud. And I've spoken to some people. I remember speaking to Russell Brunson about this a couple of years ago at an event I caught up with him at. And he said the same thing. He's like, you know, the company's huge, but I feel like more of an imposter now than I did when I first started my business, and something that tends to not really go away. But, you know, I see this beautiful synergy between strategy and tactics in business and psychology and mindset. And I think the two have to be aligned to grow. You can be doing the right strategies at the wrong time. But, you know, from a mindset perspective, I always think that we should be working more on ourselves than we should be on the business and anything and anyone else around us. And through working on ourselves first, taking personal responsibility, we have that focus, we have the discipline, and we can, you know, grow a company that can work without us, which I think, you know, I've said before, should be the goal of all entrepreneurs. Because until we're at that stage, like, we have a job. Like, it might be a well-paying job. It might be a great-looking job, you know, seeing your name on a business card with CEO next to it. But until you can walk away from your business for 3 months and the things still work and ideally grow without you being involved, you've got a job, and it's high risk, especially when you have a lot of staff, being there, relying on you to pay their wages and put food on the table for them and their family.
Yeah. No, that's massive. And especially like the imposter stuff that you're talking about. I've seen so much about that. You don't know what you don't know at the start. And then you eventually find out there's so much that you don't know, even though you're considerably more successful down the line. And I feel like that's probably never going to stop at any point.
It's this weird paradox. Like, I feel like the more that I learn, the more that I know, the more that I realize I don't know.
Yeah. Because you're doing all this stuff, and then you might, you know, start learning about Facebook ads, and then you realize there's so much more about Facebook ads that you didn't even know existed. And like, it's crazy.
Which is why I think that it's important too, to surround yourself with people, both coaches and mentors, but then also other business owners that are at a similar level or a slightly ahead of where you're at as well. Because one thing that we see a lot in our community is that people make mistakes. It's the natural part of being human and being in business. But if you can then educate others on the mistakes you made and how you overcome them, how you move through them, you prevent others having to go through the same mistakes again. Which I think is a really important factor. Like, for me, I felt alone for so many years as an entrepreneur and business owner. And part of the reasons we brought the events into our current coaching company was because I wanted to go and hang around with people that were like me, that were high vibe, that were, you know, committed to create change, that wanted to, you know, passionate about growing their businesses, but also just looking for fellow tribe members to kind of share the journey with as well. We've got a question here from Tom from Sydney. If you're watching tonight, welcome. So grateful that you're here and you're spending some of your evening with myself and Josh. Tom from Sydney. I'm sure by now Josh is a sort of investor himself. If he got enough for venture capital, where would he invest or buy, or what company would he put funds into? So if you got a ton of capital, where would you put your money and why?
Is this like a hypothetical for myself or them asking?
Well, maybe Tom's looking for some insider trading. But out of curiosity, like, you know, if you got some cash, where would you be putting your money?
I don't go into like venture stuff like that. I personally just put all my money that I want to invest into index funds. So I had a bit in the US, but I then pulled it out actually just before the whole virus sort of stuff came about. And I've got all mine pretty much in the New Zealand index funds. Because again, it comes down to like focus. If I'm going to be putting all this focus into trying to learn like individual companies, that's going to take away from what I'm doing on Instagram. And I feel like I'm better off just to focus on growing my business and then maybe settling for slightly worse returns, but absolutely no effort.
Yeah. Money's an interesting thing because for a long time, personally, I was very good at making it, but I was terrible at keeping it. And it doesn't matter how much money you make, it's how much you keep. And I think I was also under a bit of a misconception that a business is a wealth generating tool. I think business is a cash generating tool. And, you know, depending on what your outcome is, sure, if you want to grow your business to position it to be bought out or to be acquired, great. But I think the businesses work fantastically as a cash generating tool. And then using that cash to divest into potentially other businesses, into property, into shares, into bonds, whatever it is for you. Like for me, property is very good. And I think especially where we're at right now with COVID and everything else and moving to recession, you typically see property do very well at the backside of a recession. the way that I move through this, I still think that I'm very good at making it, not very good at keeping it. But knowing that about myself and my personality trait, I just set up very simplistic structure to manage my money so I could focus more on serving our clients and focus more on things I'm passionate about, knowing that my money in the background is kind of automated in some ways. And some books that I found that were fantastic and instrumental for me around that was The Barefoot Investor was pretty good. It was basic, and I was already kind of doing what he spoke about. But it's a good book for someone who's wanting to I guess, expand their personal wealth knowledge and have some structure around that. The Profit First from Mike McCallowitz for Business is a fantastic structure and strategy. But really for me, it was automating the amount I get paid, automating, you know, that money that I'm getting paid into my expenses, into my spendings, into my investing. And then every so often, you know, going and buying an investment property or putting more money into shares and so forth. And just, I think looking back, I was way too emotional around money, which is why I made stupid mistakes and stupid decisions, because I was trying to go in for a quick win or for a big gain, rather than just seeing it something in the background ticking away whilst I live my life focusing on the stuff I'm passionate about.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. I've probably almost been on the other side of emotional with money, to the point where I'm just saving it and not putting it into things that are working for me until probably recently. Yeah. Have put a decent chunk into index funds over the past sort of 2-3 months, which has done pretty well, and looking at other things. But up until like this year, probably I was just saving everything, and not really doing the smart decision of putting it back into investments that are going to make it, you know, grow on top of itself.
I don't think it's a bad thing though, too, because I think that saving money starts to alter our psychology in the way we relate to money. You know, I've coached so many people that have had money problems and money issues, and you know, it comes back to our psychology. And I speak about this in chapter 13 of the book, when I start to dive into like inner game, is that the experiences that we learn to survive growing up become the experiences that our continued survival depends upon. So if we've been brought up in a family that have got, you know, poor beliefs around money or finances, or parents that fought over money or didn't quite have enough or whatever, regardless of what that is, we were programmed and we took it on board, beliefs around wealth or around money that we're now fulfilling consistently. And even though as a 20-year-old, as a 30-year-old, was like, well, there's no harm in having money. The version of us that's making a lot of those decisions is from the creature neurology, which is survived experiences of poverty or survived experiences of lack. So what we haven't survived is experiences of being wealthy. This is why like, it's like 98% of people that win the lotto within 2 years after winning the lotto are worse off financially than before they won the lotto. Now,
yeah, it's crazy.
I'm sure people watching this today or tonight, wherever you're calling in from, are like, oh, but if I won money in the lotto, I'd be different. Like, don't you reckon 98% of other people that lost the money said the same thing or similar thing? Like, I'll be different. The reality is it's often not our conscious mind that's driving a lot of decisions, which is why, again, like, I think it's so important that our psychology has to meet our strategy. You know, I knew I was shit with money. So I just put strategy in place to help me move through that, why I worked on my psychology around money, why I removed those money beliefs, why I upped it. And we weren't even bad off growing up. You know, like my parents could always put food on the table and clothes on our back and things like that. But we certainly weren't flush for cash, you know. Yeah. And it's interesting how many business owners as well, like when I was coaching full time, how many business owners would hit this glass ceiling where their income was equivalent to their parents' income, right? Or their combined parents' income. They didn't even consciously know this. But the amount of clients that I'd find out, and I'd get them to go and ask what their parents were earning, and they'd unconsciously, energetically reach the same threshold. Crazy.
That's interesting. Yeah.
Super crazy. The experiences we learn to survive become the experiences that our continuous survival depends upon. And so it's about modifying that inner game to have survival experiences of that we want to create.
Makes sense. Yeah. I mean, reasonably lucky with that side of things, considering definitely didn't grow up with much money when I was younger, but I never had those like limiting beliefs installed on me. Like if I wanted something, instead of dad saying, you know, we don't have the money for that, it was always, we can't afford it. Like it was always like, find a way that can, you know, make that happen. If you wanted, you know, yeah, I wanted these fancy football boots. So I think I ended up selling fruit at the gate And that got me the $100 football boots when I was like 10 or something. And yeah, so I feel like being pretty fortunate that way. I haven't had a lot of those sort of like, you can't afford it, you know, bad beliefs instilled on me.
Well, in many ways though, too, there's a lot of support there. It's like, oh, you could have what you wanted. You just had to find a way to achieve it. Oh, that's a phenomenal, that's a phenomenal imprint to have in your belief systems as well, versus like, oh, just like an outright no, or you can't have that, or it's not possible, or we can't afford that. Amazing. So I've got a couple of questions for you. The first question, I ask all guests this at various stages of the interview or the conversation. If you were to have a conversation with a 10-year-old version of you, knowing what you know now, having been through life to this point in time, and I get that wasn't a long time ago for you compared to some of the guests that we've had, what advice would you give him?
Probably just not to worry at all what anyone else thinks. There's probably something that I probably cared way too much about when I was younger and like through high school and stuff, but just being able to just fully be comfortable on your own and not worry about what anyone else thinks. And I feel like I'm pretty good with that now. And probably to be a little bit more assertive in what I wanted instead of sort of sitting back and being, I guess, relaxed all the time.
Yeah.
If you want something, stand up for something and go for it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, I think what you just shared is super powerful. I was having a moment the other day, I think I was out for lunch with a friend, and we're having a conversation about life and coming up to my 35th birthday in a couple of weeks' time. And there was this aspect of me going, wow, like I'm so in love with life right now and what I get to do and the people I get to hang around with and just the way that I kind of show up for those around me. And I was like, how different life would have been if I had have known just what you just, it was exactly what you just shared. Like how different would it have been if in high school I had have just owned who I was rather than constantly trying to fit in or to be somebody that I wasn't? Like how would have been different? But then there's also this realization where I was like, you know what? Had I not have been through what I went through and had I not have shown up the way that I was, I wouldn't be where I'm at right now either. I wouldn't have learned what I've learned to be where I'm at now. So it's this really interesting thing around hearing people's advice to the younger version of themselves, how things would be different, and also that you are where you are right now and experiencing what you're experiencing based on your past and based on what you learned, based on the challenges and adversities.
Oh, 100%. I think Gary Vee came to Auckland and I was listening to him speak and he was talking about like exactly that, like you might wish that you'd done something earlier, but you wouldn't know how that would have changed your life and you could be worse off now, even though you were better off then. Like, I think he brought up the example of everyone asked him if he like regrets not investing in Uber and he like turned around and said, yeah, I could have invested in Uber, but then I might've been speaking at a tech conference in, you know, China and then got hit by a bus randomly because I was there on that day at that moment. Like you don't know what would change, like the domino effect, I guess, of that action changing.
Yeah. It's like the butterfly effect. Absolutely.
Taylor
here from Melbourne has said, Josh has had his fair share of sniffing out social media pretenders and wannabes. How do you sense a fake influencer? It's true though, right? Like it's pretty easy to go and buy fake likes and make it look like you got a great account.
Yeah.
How do you sniff
I don't know
out?
If I've got like a, when it comes to like experts that aren't experts, I guess it's, I don't know if I've got like a secret sort of system or like, I think it's just being in the industry for so long, I guess you eventually sort of pick up on like things just naturally, you sort of understand. I don't know if there's a specific thing.
Instagram crystal ball.
When it comes to like people on Instagram in general, like the easiest way is just to look at the comment section. And if the comment section is just a bunch of people saying, love this, cool quote, it's pretty fake. If it's like a bunch of people that are like tagging their friends and like leaving genuine stuff, you can tell they've got real people commenting on their stuff and real people engaging. The other thing you can do is go to sites like igblade.com or socialblade.com and you can look at the rate of someone's growth. So if they just grow like 100k in a week and then the next like 6 months they lost like a couple thousand followers, like they've pretty much just bought that and done that. So when you're like looking at audiences, just looking at those tools and seeing like the progress of their growth, probably the main one. When it comes to experts, I guess there's a little bit more, probably having a bit of a knack for it, I guess.
That being said, I did hear a rumor that you grew an account very fast in the recent weeks or months.
Yeah, I have been growing different accounts quickly on Instagram, but the difference with that is you'll see it'll be an increase. So I grew an account from 0 to 1,000 in 3 days, but then you'll see it'll increase over time and continue consistently going up, as opposed to, like, when I'm talking big jumps, like, you can literally see people go from 0 to 100K in like 3 days,
and then
because
nothing.
They're just buying fake followers.
Yeah.
And then like the next 6 months they'll gain like nothing because they've got no audience. They don't have people sharing their stuff. They don't have people naturally, you know, engaging.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Love that. If you're enjoying the conversation tonight, please hit the like button, show some love for Josh and myself. And I want to share too. So I've been in business for 18 years, as many people know, which is actually more than half my life at the moment, which is crazy to think that. I've made a lot of mistakes, certainly had a lot of successes, and I've helped a lot of people in that process as well. And like you, Josh, with Instagram Blueprint, I guess, we've got a very good blueprint now for growing businesses that are profitable, purpose-driven, and work with that business owner. I spent 4 months and laid down, I think, 85, 90,000 words into the book. I just spent 15 hours in a studio a couple of weeks ago recording the audio, which has come out amazingly well. A lot of mistakes. The guy said that he's never had as many mistakes as me before, but I'm not the best reader. I'm happy to share that. Anyway, I've created a book called The Path to Freedom, which is the 9 steps to create a highly profitable, purpose-driven business that can run without you. And it was due for release on the 3rd of August. I'd love the support of anyone watching this from wherever around the world today to get it out to more people. I think that now there's never been a better time than right now for people to start their own businesses, for business owners to truly move their business to a way where it is profitable and can work without them, because I think that the future of the economy relies on entrepreneurs and business owners. I generally believe that. And, you know, myself and my team at The Game Changer are on a huge mission to eradicate entrepreneurial poverty and help people to truly activate their truest potential within their business and within their life. So my team will put a link below. You can put your details down and start today with a live stream session. We've got some amazing guests like Josh and many more to come over the next few weeks and lead up to the launch. A special episode live this Sunday, which will be the 100th episode of the Comeback Game podcast. I'm going to shoot live with a bunch of amazing bonuses if you sign up for a pre-release copy of the book. I've got a phenomenal woman, Amber from NGNG, who's going to be interviewing me as well from the States. And I've heard that she's got some pretty special stuff going on. So please click the link below, put your details in, start to date with the launch of the book, and show some support for me and for what we're doing here with The Game Changers as well, because we are on a huge mission. It's making a huge impact, and I'd love your help to get it to more people. Josh, anything you want to wrap up with before we get off? Anything you feel drawn to share or to say to the people watching today?
I don't think I have anything too specific that we haven't already covered. I feel like we've covered a good range of things so far already.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How can they get in contact with you? If they're wanting to do some stuff on Instagram, we spoke about huge opportunity. What's the best way for them to reach out to you? Like, I know you've got an incredible Instagram course, which we actually purchased and my team's going through at the moment. How can they get in contact with you?
Yeah, the best way is probably just through email at the moment. I am working on a site, but it's not quite finished.
Yeah.
But it's just Josh at Cleverpreneur, cleverpreneur.com. I thought that was a really clever name when I actually thought of it. Cleverpreneur, how fancy. And then every time I'm
into
the bank or everything, it's like sometimes it's 3 or 4 or 5 times I have to say it to people. Like, yeah.
Well, Rafi put a link below. So yeah. Put a link below. You guys can click on that and find Josh. But also on Instagram as well, what's the easiest way to get you?
Yeah, Instagram's just Josh Ryan. Same with YouTube, youtube.com/Josh Ryan. That's probably my most active platforms.
Excellent.
I go through phases on Facebook. I'll post a ton for like 3 weeks and then I will be gone for 3 months. But YouTube and Instagram are probably the main two.
Outstanding. Well, mate, I'm so grateful to have you on tonight's episode, and thank you so much for everyone who's joined in supporting myself, my team, and the launch of the book as well. Josh, really appreciate you.
No worries. Cheers for having me.
Thank you. See you, Ron. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of the Game Changers podcast. There's a couple of things I'd love you to do to help us and help yourself to spread the message further. Make sure that you like the Game Changers on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, LinkedIn. Please subscribe by clicking the link below to ensure that you keep up to date with the weekly episodes we share here at the Game Changers podcast with amazing entrepreneurs and business owners around the world. And of course, like if you're in a position where you may be overwhelmed with business or looking for a way to grow faster and more effectively, and you realize that the key to success is being surrounded by amazing people who have been there and done that before, I'd like to invite you to apply to have a game plan session one-on-one with one of my team here at the Game Changers. There's no cost if you get through. All that we ask is that you are doing a minimum of $250,000 per year to really be able to utilize the strategies and the tactics and the mindset shifts that we share with you, that you're coachable, that you're a decent person, and you're willing to take on board some advice. If not, that's totally cool. But I know for me, I wouldn't be where I'm right now without the support of so many mentors and coaches and resources along the way. And I'd like to pay that forward and give back to you the opportunity to work with us one-on-one for free to put together a customized game plan. And the reason we're doing this is a couple of things. Number one is that sometimes it's just the smallest thing that can make the biggest difference. And I think that entrepreneurs and business owners have the opportunity to change the world. And if we can maybe help you to make the smallest shift to change your life and your world, you're changing ours in return. The second thing is that we are always looking for amazing clients to work with and to welcome into and invite into the Game Changers community. And so if at the end of the call, you do feel that there's a huge amount of value there, that we feel that there's a great values fit there, we can have a conversation about working together. But this game plan call, there's absolutely no obligations to work with whatsoever. Allow us to help you with the years and years and years of knowledge that we have in growing and scaling great companies. And I think that business owners are the future of the world. If there's a way that we can help you to create a better business, more profit, more fulfillment, more fun, I would love the opportunity to do that now. So click the link below, book your game plan session, make sure you follow us on social and stay up to date with the latest episodes of the Game Changers podcast. My name's Barry William Magliditi. Thank you so much for your support and look forward to seeing you next one. Bye for now.